Let me read Psalms 23. A psalm of David. And of course, David was, what do we know about David? Where'd David start? Where'd David start? Come on. Shepherd. David was a shepherd. So David writes this, not from the perspective of a shepherd, but from the perspective of a sheep. Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't think it's any mistake that this is one of the best known literary pieces out of Scripture, across the board. You go out, you meet people. I've not met a lot of people that haven't heard bits or pieces of Psalms 23, can't tell it to you. Pretty much across the board, anytime I have done a memorial or a funeral service for a person outside of our congregation, in the community, wherever, and especially those that I would go, well, they're probably not in a fellowship anywhere, this psalm is requested. I just think that's amazing. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's just coincidence. I think it's something God did, because in this we have such a great picture of his kingdom and his lordship and how he interacts with us and how we interact with him, our relationship with God, and our association to him. In Psalms 107, a couple weeks ago I brought this out, but he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction and makes his families like a flock. Right? This is something God does. This is and I just, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, it's funny because in most cultures, probably in Jesus' day, in the time that this was written, it's very countercultural, counterintuitive, because if you would just stop for a minute and think, in our day, not many people want to associate with being a sheep. And I just kind of thought it was kind of funny because it's something everybody could probably relate to. How do we name most of our sports teams? Predators. I mean, you know, the strong, the you know, have you ever heard of a football team named the Lambs? Right? Maybe Seattle. But I just... I was waiting. Jim was a little slow. I don't know if he's awake or not. Okay. So, but it's just not, right? It's not what people want. It's you look at a sheep. Sheep are needy. They're in danger. They need a shepherd. They need somebody. They're dependent. And it's this picture in Scripture. God says, you know, the more you know me, the more you should know you need me, because the more you see me, the greater I become. And the more you see yourself in light of who I am, the more you realize how much you need me. God goes, that's the way I developed it. I didn't give you Christ so you could get better and be more independent of me. I want to take you back to the place that I created you to have, where I was everything. And it wasn't until mankind asked for an understanding of their own that things went sideways, right? Isn't it amazing? God gave us the sacred right of choice, but we have not been given the right to choose the outcome of those choices. And God says, choose me. Choose me, because none who hope in me will ever be disappointed. I may not get what I want today. Sheep don't always get what they want today. But the shepherd is faithful. And every time I choose him, I'm moving towards life. Right? So, Psalms 23. It's a psalm of identity. And I've worked that over for a few weeks. But I want to say it again today. It's a psalm of identity. He is the shepherd. I am the sheep. And I know that sounds simple. Yeah, move on. But if you don't get that, you will end up in an identity crisis, trying to be somebody you were never intended to be. And people who have identity crisis get weird. Do you know any weird Christians? I do. You want to know why? They're in an identity crisis. Well, this is who I am. No, I'm sorry. I can't find that in Scripture. I mean, I know you can take bits and pieces out of context and you can say that's who you are, but all the way through Scripture, I'm told who we are. Let me read something to you. This is always kind of interesting. I find that when I read Scripture, I read it flat. And what I mean is I read it and I go, well, that's all there is to it, right? It's one-sided. Yeah, I read that and okay, I got what I need out of it. But what I don't understand, or so many times what we don't get, is when we read one thing, there's another side to the coin that we also have to understand and take in, right? God is not flat. When I came here to pastor, I was pretty flat in the sense, okay, I'm coming to pastor a church, but the other side of that coin is that God has given me people, and those people will be at work in my life as well, right? You get that? It's never one-sided. It's never one-sided. And so I want to read you a couple of excerpts from the book of Hebrews that we kind of, I think, keep pretty one-sided. And so I kind of want to flip the coin over and just help, because it talks about our identity. This is talking about our identity from another place in Scripture. So Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 17 and 18, and then I'm going to jump to chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 15 and 16, because this is all one long thought, and I just want to kind of draw. So therefore, speaking about Jesus, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And so what I get out of that, and I'm going to go on and I'm going to read from chapter 4 too, but same thing, is that Jesus came and associated with me in that he became human. He took on flesh and bone. He was tempted the way I'm tempted. And it's going to go on to say, yet without sin. Verse 4, or chapter 4, I'm sorry. Verses 15 and 16 say this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. And so every time I read that, I find comfort in that text, right? Why? Jesus understands my weakness, right? That's what it says. Now, I know it's talking about a high priest. We're going to take it back to the sheep thing. But he understands, like Psalms 103, the psalmist says, God, please don't forget that you made me out of dirt. Right? You ever felt like a dirt bag? Hey. And so we get comfort out of that. Yeah, you know, I'm coming to someone who understands me, but the flip side of the coin is, as much as he associated with us, we are to associate with him. One of the things that said about him was that he was meek. And I met so many people go, I don't like that word. I don't like the word meekness, but meekness means strength under control. We are to associate with his meekness, right? And what... How is Christ described? I want you to see this. This is interesting. I never caught this before until yesterday when I was going through this. But I want to flip the coin over, because as much as we can look at that passage of Scripture and go, Christ associated with me, the other side of that is that I am to associate with him in how he came. Right? Anybody? Jim? We're to associate with him in how he came. So, how did he come? I want you to get this. I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture. But I want you to get this. One is a passage of prophecy from the past. One is a passage of scripture that we would call a present tense, right? It happened in the present. And then the third one is futuristic. And all three of them describe Jesus in his coming, right? How he would come, how he came, how he actually was when he was here, and how he is in the future. You ready? All right. Because we have to identify with the one who came. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 6 through 7. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. All of us, like what? Like what? Sheep. Okay, just want to make sure you caught that. But the Lord has caused the iniquities of all of us to fall on him, speaking about Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearer, so he did not open his mouth. So how did Jesus come? As a what? As a lamb. As a lamb. Okay, that was prophecy, right? That's past prophecy. That's how they spoke of it then. Let's go to what I call real time, because this was real time when he was alive on this earth. John chapter 1, verse 29 says this. The next day, John the Baptist, referring to, saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Real time. How about future? Revelations chapter 7, verse 17. "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd." There he is as both. "And will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." If we're going to learn to identify ourselves with Christ and the image he wants to form in us, then we must be willing to learn the nature of the sheep, and that's what Psalms 23 is all about. It starts out with identity, but if you don't get the identity, if you really don't practice, it's not enough to say, okay, I understand that. No, really, how sheep-like are you, right? Are you a sheep or are you a wolf? Are you a sheep or are you a predator? What does how you act say about your life? Are you being led or are you the one that's in control? I don't know if I like all of that. Well, that's okay, but you have the right to not like it. But if you're going to say, I associate myself with Christ and his death, then you have to associate with who he came as and how he died, because he didn't die as a wolf. He didn't go fighting. Well, that's weakness. Yeah, but you know what? He's the one who's seated at the right hand of God with all power and authority, and his enemies being made a footstool under his feet, because he did the will of the Father. He allowed his shepherd to guide him. And so here we have a psalm, and it starts out with identity. God is the shepherd. The shepherd does things, and the sheep do things. And that's why I showed that video. You know, it's comforting to me that God called a sheep and that sheep tend to do what? They tend to stray. Isn't that what it said in Isaiah? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so even a good sheep needs a shepherd, right? And so God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for a willingness to follow. That's comforting, right? God doesn't gauge me by the perfection scale. He's looking at the willingness of my heart. That kind of puts us all on the same page, doesn't it? Because some of us can do things better on the outside. But all of us need to be led. When I don't think I need to be led, I find myself in so much trouble, because I have the sacred right of choice, but I don't have the right to choose the outcome of those decisions. I need a shepherd. So, Psalms 23, let's go back. I'm pretty excited about this next part, because it's, you know, if you read it, You get some pictures, but you really got to get the picture. There is so much in this psalm. I think there's a good reason it's so well known across the world, because God put so much about his kingdom and his desire for his people and how the shepherd wants to interact with the sheep if you're willing to be a sheep. So let's take a look at this. Psalms 23, I want to consider how a sheep would follow a shepherd and how to respond as the shepherd goes ahead of the flock and calls out to those who are dependent on his voice and his shepherdly ability. Now, I just kind of put here, I mean, it's kind of comical, but it, and then I'm not against planning. Don't get this. But the problem is sometimes we value planning more than we do our willingness to be led. Because God's given each of us gifts, hasn't he? And some of us are very strong in those gifts, but the problem is sometimes the gifts take precedence over our willingness to be led, because God will lead you to use the gifts not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of his kingdom, which will benefit others, right? And so when our gifts just become ours, and the shepherd comes along and he goes, I'm going to lead you that way, and we go, no, like that's not my 5-year plan. How many of you know of a sheep that has a 5-year plan? I mean, it's kind of comical, but there isn't one. What does a sheep do? They get up and they follow the shepherd every day. Now, in that leading, I understand I have gifts, and I go, God, you place gifts in my life. I'm going to use these. But if you say, go right, I'm going right. Forget the 5-year plan. Like, I'm just doing this. I've kind of put that out there. I hold that lightly. You're the shepherd, lead on. I will take the gifts that you placed in my life, and I will endeavor to see those glorify you and to see your kingdom come and your will be done right here on earth, the way it is in heaven. Now, I've got some ideas, but my ideas are always subject to your leading, right? So, sheep need a shepherd. I think that's one of the most important things that we can do every day when we get up is to say, God, I need you to lead me today, because without you, I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. And scripture is very true. I've been around long enough to see this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is what? Is death. And I go, God, I need you, because I can mess it up as fast as anybody. I need you to lead me. I know there's nothing good for me outside of your will. I may not be able to see it today, but I know you're leading me to life. So I want to stick with you. And so that's the nature of the sheep. And it's the nature that Psalms 23 presents. I put here, and I'm leading up to something, so I'm just kind of throwing some questions out there. Do sheep have a comprehensive guide to how and why the shepherd does things in the pasture so that they can follow better? No, they don't. Nope. Sheep just follow the voice because he is the shepherd. Right? I put in my notes, I didn't work it in here. Sheep aren't intellectually sharp. They don't, you know, they don't build cities. I'm just saying the main thing that a sheep does is to follow the voice of the shepherd. That's their goal in life. That's what they get up and what they want every day. They go, I need to follow the voice of the shepherd. And I think part of going, God, I'm a sheep, is just to recognize that and go, God, the first thing I should do, I'm going to do a lot of other things in the day. Like, this is the gateway to my day. But when I get up, am I saying, God, I need you to lead me today? Like, the primary thing is that you lead me. Is it an audible voice? No, it's not an audible voice. I mean, God leads us through his word. We can see things that he's written out for us to understand and to know and to walk in that. He shouldn't have to tell us about that. But there's just that sense of, I need you to lead me. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to speak. But you did say, Jesus said, the sheep, my sheep, will know what? My voice. And when he speaks, you will know it. Are you listening? Because the sheep listen. Others, shepherd's just off in the peripheral someplace. If I need him, I'll call on him. Not the sheep. Now, do sheep wander? Yes. God knows that, right? He already said, you're going to wander. I know. It's okay. I'm a shepherd. I'll come get you. It's why I got my rod and my staff, right? They're instruments for correction and protection. They're a comfort to you. But are you asking? Are you asking? All right. With me? With me, sheep, they're dependent. They're listening. They're always looking. So I put in here, what does a sheep know for sure? That I'm following the shepherd, right? I'm going to beat this a little bit. I want you to have this by the end. Personal question. So we're going from sheep. What's the sheep's goal today? Follow the shepherd, right? And now I want to kind of stop, because a lot of times in Christian circles and in church, we talk about doing the will of God. How many of you think that might be an important thing? I think that's kind of an important thing, to do the will of God. So I have a question. How will you do the will of God tomorrow? You'll listen for the voice. See, because in the psalm, he's the shepherd. He's the one doing all the hard work. He's the one doing the leading. What are the sheep doing? They're following the voice of the shepherd. That's how they do the will of the shepherd. They don't have to figure it out. They don't have to have a comprehensive guide. They don't have to have so many degrees that they look like a thermometer. They just need to follow the voice of the shepherd. You go, well, I don't hear that voice. What if I can't hear that voice? Well, are you asking? Because like I have to ask every day. I don't get up and know this stuff every day. What I know when I get up is that I need somebody to lead me. Does that mean I don't have plans and I don't have things I'm going to do? No. But still my dependence and my understanding is, God, if I'm going to be standing in the right place at the end of the day, there's going to come points, probably multiple times during the day, when I'm going to need you're there, and I'm going to need to know that you're the one that's leading. So I don't just do this my way, right? All right. So how do we do the will of God tomorrow? By following the voice of the shepherd. If you are following the voice of the shepherd, let me ask this. Okay, another question. I gotta decipher what's questions and what am I trying to say? So, another question, and you'll see this all in a minute. Just stick with me. So, tomorrow, when you do the will of God, right, because it is possible to do, will you be able to point to it and say, this is what it was? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? Because you would talk to some people and they'd say, oh, yeah, I can tell you when I've done the will of God. And they can point to some things. But my question is, when we're following the voice of the shepherd and we're doing the will of God, do we even know we're doing the will of God sometimes? Now, the reason for this is I want you to understand how important it is to listen and to be following. So let's kind of flesh this out a little bit. And I've asked a lot of questions. Psalms 23, verse 2 says this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Okay, first line is identity. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything the shepherd provides. Okay, that's what he says. Next line says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside clear waters. All right, and now again, this is another coin. And we need to look at both sides. We're going to look at both sides. Remember, we've been talking about identity. We've been talking about how I have to identify with Christ and how he came. And he identified with me when he came. He became human, but he came as a lamb. And he says, now follow me. Follow me. Be like me. Be imitators of Christ. What scripture teaches us. So we have to use both sides of this as we follow this thought through. Okay. Simple question, this one, nothing hidden, just answer. What does verse 2 in Psalms 23 draw out? What's it point to? What's it talk about? What's it talk about? Simple, don't overthink this. Just what's it say? Provision, sustenance, right? Green pastures, still water, those are things sheep need to live. No food, no water, you die. Right? Sustenance, food. Let's just boil it down to food. Can we do that? All right, so do you understand that with sheep? right? So, but you think, honestly, that David took the time to write this just to tell us that God was going to get us some grub. No, I think there's more involved in this, and I like it because the imagery of the sheep is so through Scripture, and especially in Jesus' teaching. And so now I want to take you to another place where sustenance is talked about, right? Verse 2 talks about sustenance. Let's go to another place, another passage I want to draw from, where sustenance is talked about by Jesus as he identifies with us. Okay? John chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. Now, this is the retelling of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. Okay? And he's talking with her, and his disciples have gone to town to get what? Food. They've gone to town to get food, and they leave Jesus by the well, and he's having this conversation. And so they come back, and they find Jesus talking to this woman. They're a bit confused because this is just culturally, this is all wrong. And like, you know, Jesus is always doing things that kind of tip people's buckets, right? You've heard it said, but I'm going to tell you something else. So here we are, verse 30. His disciples come back. They got food. They went out of the city, and we're coming to Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." Okay, sustenance, right? Right? Verse 2, sustenance. Jesus is talking about sustenance. He's not just talking about food here, is he? Look at what he goes on to say. So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." So what does Jesus says there's things you need to survive and to end up in the right place and to have the strength for each day. What did Jesus say his food was? As the Lamb of God, what was his food? To do the will of the Father. Okay. Now I want you to think back into Psalms 2. And when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he causes me to find sustenance. The shepherd causes us to lie down in the places of doing the will of God. It's what the shepherd does. Okay? We're not just talking about food. And Jesus draws on that. The Lamb of God says, "My food is to do the will of my Father. My Father is leading me, and he is causing me to lie down in the green pastures of his will. He's leading me beside the still waters of his will. I don't have to figure this out. It's his job to lead me there." And Jesus draws this out, right? He goes, this is my sustenance, the Lamb of God. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I think as a follower of Christ, maybe this is one of the things I've struggled with most, because how do I know if I'm doing the will of God? How does the sheep do the will of the shepherd? They follow his voice. What was Jesus doing? He was following his Father. He was doing what he heard his Father say. And Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me. Follow my voice. Let me lead you into the pastures and cause you." I like that it says cause you. It doesn't say that the sheep walks out there and lies down on his own accord. The shepherd causes me, like, I don't even know what I'm doing here, but he's making me lay down. That's because this is the green pasture of the Father's will. How many of you can see in Psalms 23 that the shepherd is doing far more than fattening up the sheep with good food? The shepherd will cause the sheep to rest in doing the Father's will. Now, let me ask you a question. What do the sheep think they're doing? Following the voice of the shepherd. Did they have to figure this out? Or did they just have to follow the voice of the shepherd because he would cause them to come to the place of lying down in the will of the Father? We are just following the shepherd's voice. So check this out. Check this out. Like, I'm not just stretching this. Like, this is in Scripture. I always say, one, context is king. You got to keep things in context. But when I can go into Scripture and I can find it play out in two or three places, because that's what the Scriptures say, is that you should have at least two witnesses to confirm something. Here's another witness to this dynamic of being sheep and knowing, right, the Father's voice. But there's a neat dynamic in here. So, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. I was going to read through 46, but I'm just going to read through 40. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the angels with him, he will then sit on his glorious throne. So we're talking about judgment, okay? There's elements of it in here. He's going to do some things. And this isn't talking about the church and the world. This is just talking about the church, okay? Great white throne. Here we go. And he will, nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from the other as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. What are we? And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Let me unpack this a little bit. One, it draws into view the sheep, right? Identity, identity, identity. Man, God said, you want to take on the nature of a sheep, because all they know is that they need to follow me. In verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who is God preparing a kingdom for? Those who do his will. Now, I'm going to show you this in the next passage of Scripture. He's not preparing a kingdom for those who are out there doing their own thing. His kingdom is for those who do his will. Right? Right. That's who he's preparing the kingdom for. So I kind of want to establish that. Remember, I asked the question, right? How will you do the will of the Father tomorrow? So really, Jesus said, come and inherit the kingdom, those who were willing to be led by the voice of the shepherd. Because the only way you're ever going to do the will of God is if you're following his voice. It's the only way it's ever going to happen. You are not smart enough on your best day to do the will of God on your own. On your best day, on my best day, my understanding of who God is incomplete. And if you disagree with that, then you've made yourself God. And I'll let you have that false God and see how far it gets you. I wouldn't even argue with you. Right? Because it's laughable. It's laughable. As soon as I know as much as God, I am God. So, those who were willing to be led, what Jesus pointed to, and he gets in there. So here's the thing. These people that the kingdom has been prepared for, the ones that have been willing to be led, they get to the end, they stand before God, right? And Jesus said, come, you who have done the will of my Father. Now, what did Psalms 23 say about what the shepherd was going to do? He was going to lead the sheep, and he was going to cause them to lie down where? In the will of the Father. And so here's these sheep standing before the king, and he says, great job, guys, you did it. You did the will of the Father. Come and inherit the kingdom that he's prepared for you. And they look at him and they go, huh? Well, when did we do the will of God? Like when all we were doing was following the voice of the shepherd, like when did we do all this magnificent stuff? And the shepherd says, you did it when I caused you to lie down and you were obedient. Like they didn't even know they were doing the will of God. Be leery of those who can point to the things that they are doing as doing the will of God. Oh, Pastor Brent, that's good. No. Here. Let me give you something else Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. There it is. I told you I'd show it to you. Kingdom's prepared for those who do his will. And so Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Who's going to do the will of the Father? Those that are following the voice of the shepherd. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Did they do bad things? No. Did they lose their identity as sheep? Yes. See, they were doing these things, but it wasn't because they were following the voice of the shepherd. They were doing those things because that's what they wanted to do. And I know our brains don't equate that. Like, how does God let that happen? Listen, you have to understand something. God cares about the guy that's being ministered to as much as he does the guy that's doing the administering. And God will do things through people for the sake of the person, not as an approval of the messenger. And that very, you can't lie in heaven. Like when these people say, Lord, Lord, they're not faking it. They really think like they've been serving God. And God says, I don't even know who you are. You are not one who followed my leading. You're out there on your own, doing your own thing. Yeah, but God, we did these things. He goes, yeah, but you didn't do the will of my Father. You just did these things. Right? How will we do the will of God? By following the voice of the shepherd. Are we always going to be able to point to the fact that we're doing the will of God? No. I had a thought the other day, you know, as a pastor, I mean, I would not be human if I didn't want to be able to look at things and point to things like, you've been in a church for 18 years, what's going on? Well, nothing I can put my finger on. But you know, if you consider scripture, if you consider history, Hebrews chapter 11, right, is the chapter of the heroes of faith. And if you go back and consider most of their stories, nobody knew that they were doing the will of God until after they were gone. Somebody else had to point to it. Martin Luther, a lot of these people, they didn't know in their day what they were doing, right? And they definitely, some of them you look and you go, wow, they really wandered. Yeah, they were sheep too. They were sheep too. But we see the effects of what God did then, but it took time and somebody else had to point to it. But the reason that those things happened and the reason that that could go from there to here and still produce fruit is because they were just following the voice of the shepherd. They weren't doing it so they could point to it and say, look what I did. Beware. If that is the basis of your confidence before God, because scripture says in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4 or chapter 5, this is our confidence in judgment, that as he is the Lamb of God, so are we in this world. We are just following the voice of the shepherd. He makes me lie down. And my food is to do the will of my Father. How will I do the will of my Father? By following the voice of the shepherd. You know, that puts everybody on a level playing field. This is not based on what you know. This is not based on how well you perform. It's based solely on willingness. I love what David prayed in Psalms 51. One of his greatest train wrecks, he gets rebuked by the prophet Nathan, and he writes a prayer that becomes a psalm, and he says, you know, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, but sustain me with a willing spirit. What David said, God, give me a heart that's willing to be where you are, doing what you're doing. Isn't that the heart of the sheep? I just want to be where the shepherd is, doing what he's doing. And when I'm there, he will cause me to lie down in the green pastures of doing the will of the Father, and I won't even know I did it. But the owner of the flock is smiling because I'm following the voice of the shepherd. How likely is it that I will live that way if I don't know my identity as a sheep? Man, I've tried hard to do it my way. I don't know how many times either I've asked myself or somebody else has asked me, how's that working for you? Yeah, there's days it seems like it's okay, but most of the time, give it time and it's seen for what it is. And I come back to that place where more and more, when Paul says, I rejoice in my weakness, for where I am weak, then he is strong. What's he saying? I just need to follow the voice of the shepherd. And it's a practice. Like, we don't get to see it. You know, some days just feel like failures. I look back at that day and I go, what did I do today? And I just kept calling out to God saying, please lead me. I don't know what to do. And God goes, man, that's your best day this week. Like the rest of the days when everything was going good and you were doing it your own way, you really weren't following me. You're just doing what's best for you. Like, I love it when you're dependent on me. God doesn't love our struggle, but he loves the dependence that we can have in struggle. He's not a sadist. He just goes, come unto me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll cause you to lie down in the will of the Father. I'm not going to make you work hard to do this. Like, I want to take you there. Are you willing to be led? Because all you have to do is listen, because my sheep will know my voice. I don't know that voice. Well, just ask. I don't hear it every day. Like I know, like I can tell you, like I can point to it. But I know he's faithful. I know he is leading. And in my weakness, he shows himself strong. And I get down the road 6 months or 9 months, and I look back and I go, ah, I can see it. I can see what he was doing. I couldn't see it that day. I couldn't see it that day. But he was leading. Look at his goodness. Look what the Lord has done. Can I share? Because I love miracles. But, you know, when I read that passage of Scripture from Matthew, And you get these people that point to the things they did. And sometimes somebody might go, well, you must not believe it. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus did miracles, didn't he? The Lamb of God did miracles. But the pattern for miracles is this, that as Jesus followed the voice of the Father, power was available for miracles. And I think as sheep, most of our miracles are probably going to look like the woman with the issue of blood, because Jesus is going through this crowd and all he's doing, following the voice of the Father, he's going to Jairus' house because his daughter is dead and he's going to go pray for her, and there's a crowd, and people are pressing on him, and he's probably aggravated, because that's how I felt in Israel when I had to fight my way through the crowds, right? He's walking along, and all of a sudden he stops, and he goes, who touched me? P- Power went out of me. Who touched me? Like the power was available. Jesus wasn't looking to make a name for himself. In walking and following the voice of the Father, power was available for miracles. And all it took was somebody to reach out and touch it. And I think as sheep, like we should know that. Like the greatest miracles that are going to happen in my life, I'm not even going to know they're happening. I'm going to go, what just happened? Who touched me? Why did that happen? Well, certainly not because you did it good enough today. You were just dependent. You were just following the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Father, we thank you that you sent us the Lamb of God. And not just to associate with us, not just to know our weakness, but that we could know his character and the character of his coming and the nature of his death. In Romans, it says that we associate with his death that we would know the life of his living. Thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away our sins and who gives us his nature to follow the voice of the shepherd. This week, and I pray for each one as they go, and we just have the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season and the lead up. But would you lead us? Would you make your voice evident? Would you cause us to lie down in the green pastures? Would you lead us beside the still waters of the will of the Father? And God, would we do those things, even though we don't know them, don't know we're doing them? God, we're just flailing through the day most of the time. But as we have the opportunities to do those things that we know the shepherd would have us to do, that we would make the most of each opportunity, that we would share the grace and the love and the mercy, the hope, God, with those who don't know that hope, and sometimes in words, sometimes just in a smile or a kind gesture or an act of compassion. If they would see the nature of the Lamb of God in us, and that someday, God, we would look at you with all honesty and say, when did we do your will? And they'll just say, when you followed the voice of the shepherd. Thank you that you have not made it hard. We thank you that you have not excluded any of us. God, we can all call out to you. We can all follow. We can all exercise willingness. We thank you for that. We ask that you would guide us in it. I'll be with each one this week. I pray for those who have family traveling this week or who may even be traveling. Would you watch over and protect? God, I pray as we have celebrations and parties and gatherings with friends that your joy would abundantly overflow in our lives. God, that the blessing, may the God of all peace, may the God of all hope so fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, as you follow his voice, that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who works in you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. And next week, if anybody's wondering, there's no adult Sunday school or anything. Service will be the same time. It is Christmas Day. We've had 3 of these. I know some people were wondering if it would be abbreviated.